Back for another week. This is the Between the Ropes podcast. Brian Fritz here. Appreciate everybody for listening and for downloading the podcast. Michael Wiseman could not be here this week. Oh, how horrible is that? So Spencer Davies back on the podcast. And it was funny because it was like right after No Mercy. I think you like texted me and you're like begging to come on. Like, I have so much to say. Get me on the podcast.
Basically, I just wanted to completely tear everything like limb from limb because creative was just been so bad lately. And I just wanted to kind of air those grievances on your podcast. And it's a perfect place to do it.
It was like you were a member of the Costanza household around Christmas and you had to do the airing of grievances or something.
Exactly.
Oh my God, that was so funny. You were like just texting me going, what is going on over there in WWE? I got to come on the podcast, but it's great that you could join now because, unfortunately Michael couldn't do it this week and my schedule has been a little weird. In fact, we were going to tape this on Wednesday night and you were like on call waiting and then I held you up like a bad date.
Yeah. You left me hanging and it's like my senior year all over again, man.
I know.
You brought back those horrible memories and now I blame you.
I'm sorry, man. I apologize. So here's what happened. Like, originally I was not going to go to the NXT tapings and then things kind of shifted to where I could go and I went. And then you start seeing some people that you know, and they want to talk for a couple of minutes and this and that. And next thing you know, you're running way late, and now you're getting tired, and you're like, let's just see if we can postpone this until the next day.
Yeah. And in the process, you also spoiled something super, super cool for me in NXT, so okay. I appreciate that, too.
But let's just start right there. We'll talk NXT right off the bat, because I know it's something near and dear to your heart. And something we don't always cover here on the podcast, or at least a lot. So I did not feel bad about giving away this spoiler, not only to you, but to put it out there on social media. And here's why, okay? Now, first of all, you follow me on Twitter. I follow you on Twitter. You're following Twitter all the time. You're looking at it. So you're going to find out whether I told you this directly or not. It just so happens that after I put it out on Twitter, I texted you about it. And by the way, WWE, even though these are NXT tapings, they're not going to be shown for, you know, until the next couple of weeks. They give out their own spoilers for tapings. And they put it out there, too. So you are going to be spoiled regardless.
But yeah, but I can also always blame you, and then it just makes me feel better.
Ah, that's how it goes. Okay. So if you haven't heard the news, and I'm sure you probably have if you're listening to this podcast because you're a big wrestling fan, NXT is bringing back War Games. And this has been kind of talked about for years that they would do this. I believe Triple H has been a big proponent of it, but Vince McMahon has never wanted to do it in WWE. But guess what? NXT is Triple H's baby, and they're bringing back War Games. It was weird because I didn't expect it. I like came out of the blue, and I won't tell you exactly who's in it, but I'll keep that part separate, and everybody can follow the spoilers elsewhere on that. But instead of doing like the traditional, you know, two teams of five, they're doing three teams of three, but it is going to be War Games. The actual takeover, which is the night before Survivor Series in Houston, is actually titled NXT War Games. So they're finally bringing back the War Games.
All righty. Awesome. Well, I can already kind of guess who those three teams are going to be. Can I throw that out there?
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to warn everybody right now. Okay, because you're going to do that. I'm just going to spoil it. Okay, but give me your guess.
All right, I got Sanity, Undisputed, and Tyler Bate, Trent Seven, and Wolfgang.
That makes a lot of sense. However, you're wrong.
Okay.
You're wrong with one of the teams. So it is that correct? I got to think about this in my own head now, too. It is, yeah. So Sanity, yep. Undisputed Era, yep. But the other team, wrong. It is not the UK team. It is the pairing of the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yes.
It's really interesting. What?
Yes. There's a makeshift team or grouping okay. here. So this is a William Regal call. You know, he is the GM. So he
right.
he runs the place with an iron fist. So, yeah, they set up the angle at the tapings. And just to give away another spoiler, sorry, everybody. If you don't like it, suck it.
You're the worst. I'm on the podcast, and I'm one of those people that you're telling suck it.
Joe, no, the best thing is you got mad at me last night, and I literally sent you a GIF of suck it.
Yeah, you sent me a GIF of freaking Triple H doing the crotch chop. And I'm like, well, thanks.
Well, a lot of people thought that at TakeOver, it was going to be Adam Cole getting the championship match against Drew McIntyre, right?
Right.
Well, they changed that, and they did it even before they announced War Games, which got people thinking like, okay, what's Adam Cole going to do? Instead, it is Andrade Cien Almas that's getting the title shot.
Hell yes, dude. I love that.
Yeah.
I've wanted this dude to get pushed to the moon, man. I love his in-ring ability. And to put Zelina Vega with him, I think that was really good.
It's very good. I mean, she really enhances the act. And it's nothing against him, but I mean, you know, for the longest time, he just did not look comfortable being in NXT. He didn't have the mask on like he did when he was wrestling in Mexico. He was being a babyface and whatnot. And, you know, since they've done this heel turn, he's looked more and more comfortable. And then, you know, he had the match, the last takeover with Johnny Gargano, which was fantastic. And he's just, you can just see him coming out of this kind of shell that he's had since he's come over to NXT to where now he's finally where he should be. They put her with him, and the act is great, you know. And you'll see, you know, it makes a lot of sense that he's getting the championship match, and he looks like somebody that is a real threat to Drew the way that they did this. So I'm totally cool that they decided to go there when it comes to him getting the title shot.
Yeah, that's really I think that's interesting style is the mesh. You kind of have that luchador style a little bit, but he's also kind of conforming to the WWE style where he can keep everything into the ring, whereas Drew's just kind of hits you in the face, power style. So yeah. I think those two styles will mesh pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, just to reiterate this, Triple H even tweeted out last night War Games for the first time in nearly 20 years. So too bad.
Did you break it before him and you just don't have as many followers? So
I flat out did. Like the second that they showed the graphic, like I took a picture of the big screen and I literally tweeted out in all caps. I'm like, NXT is bringing War Games back, you know?
Like, you don't get quite as many retweets
no,
as AAA.
I don't. Yeah, because like right now he has like 4,370 retweets on it and over 12,000 likes. And let's go over to my account real quick and let's see how many that I got. And by the way, Triple H wasn't even there last night, okay? Because he was over in Mumbai or something to make an appearance whatever. So mm-hmm. he was over there. Let's see. When I posted it last night, well, at first I didn't even have the picture. Okay. So I just put War Games is coming to NXT. That's got 4 retweets and 5 likes. And then when I posted the picture, it got retweeted 5 times with 8 likes. So
that's a big time. That's a big time difference though. For I mean, that 4 and 5 to go from 5 to 8, that's impressive.
I was happy with the growth, yeah, but still probably a little bit. It was a little shy of Triple H, I'll be honest with you. So
he has
a few more followers than me. I'm not afraid to say it. I mean, he's kind of over. I mean, the dude has almost 6.3 million followers, and I have just over 5,000. So you know,
I'm just sad that you couldn't tell him about my digital content skills because I'm telling you, I'm going to end up working for them at some point.
I know you're sitting me hit me up last night going, hey man, can I give you my resume? I'm like, no,
seriously, man, I've got a lot of talent and a lot of skill. It's
I know
a very
you do
skill set.
I'm going to tell you the same thing that I told you before. There's a website. It's called Indeed.com. Okay, yep. I want you to go there and just punch in WWE. You will find some jobs.
Really?
You will find some openings there.
Use the Indeed.com search engine. All right, that goes for the listeners too. Listeners that want to work for WWE, do the same thing.
I'm not saying you're going to get a job. I'm just saying there's some job listings there that you can apply for. Oh, by the way, since we're spoiling everything, I'm going to give away the rest of the card for War Games in Houston.
Yeah, may as well.
So they're doing the four-way for the vacant women's championship. It's Kairi Sane, Peyton Royce, Ember Moon, Nikki Cross. I think everybody expected that. They are doing Aleister Black against Velveteen Dream.
I love that, man.
And by the way,
absolutely love that.
Velveteen Dream had a match during the tapings last night. He was angry. He was an angry man. And it was great. And then I don't know if they're doing this match at TakeOver. I think so. They haven't officially announced it yet. But it looks like Lars Sullivan against Cassius Ohno.
Okay, that makes sense because Cassius didn't really have a program right now.
Right.
That stuff with Hideo's done and
right.
Lars Sullivan's tearing through Noe Jose and
right.
you know all the lower end guys in NXT. So that makes sense.
Yeah, and no Hideo Itami for War Games.
Is he hurt?
Not that I know of, but who knows?
Huh, because he was starting to do that. He did that heel turn, and then he had a program with Cassius, and then after that, really haven't heard from him.
Right, so maybe they've got something down the line following TakeOver for him, or I'm not...
Maybe he's going to interfere in a match or something.
He could. I mean, he could do that. No, I mean, TK61, we're going to get them back here in a regular program soon.
Really? We're getting TM back?
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
They call him TK, TM, of course. Don't ask me. I can't do this against you. Like, it's bad enough that I screw up and the rest of the audience is like, oh, you idiot. But
I mean, it's TMDK was what their name was before they came to NXT. So you kind of get a reprieve there.
Yeah, because you're the NXT expert because, like, I follow it and everything. But, like, I'm horrible with names sometimes, right? And, like, you have everybody's name. Like, you just have it on the tip of your tongue all the time.
Everything. It's my show. I told you before we did this, you know, we started this, that I wanted to swoon over NXT. It's just the best. It's the best promotion they have going right now. It's this like crazy hybrid between former guys from TNA, ROH, New Japan. They've got people from, you know, that have been on like Lucha Underground, like all these like Progress Wrestling, anybody from over from the UK. And like they're just like introducing like all of these talents. And they're also meshing them with their just traditionally grown talents through the Performance Center. And it's just like a really cool mixture. I love it.
I do, too. You know, and I'm we've got more guys that they're going to introduce here when it comes to television, because like they haven't even put like Leo Rush and Donovan Dijak on. I think was Rush on there, but lost a match.
Leo Rush was supposed to debut last night and Velveteen interfered or something,
yeah,
but
I
haven't watched it yet. So,
right. So the former tag team partners are going to feud because
nice.
They teamed together in Maryland Championship Wrestling. And then they're actually the tag team champs there for a while. And I believe they're even feuding with the Entourage for a little while with my buddy Kevin Eck as their manager of the Entourage. And then who else is going? I mean, and then... You know, NXT still got to figure out when it comes to how exactly are they going to utilize the UK wrestlers, because we see them every now and then, but it's not on a regular basis. And it's like they're off on their own island because they don't have like a weekly UK show yet. And until then, they're like, hey, yeah, let's do something with you guys this week. Let's bring you over this week, you know, for whatever we're, you know, for these tapings. And sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. It's just kind of hit and miss right now.
Huh. Interesting. Who knows?
Because, I mean, those guys were not at the tapings last night.
What do you make of it?
I think it's like I said, I think WWE is just like, we're not going to bring you in for these tapings. You know, we're not going to have you at the next takeover, so there's no reason for you to be here at the tapings. Like, they really pared down, like, who was on the tapings because they're in... These are the last shows before TakeOver, so some of the other people, you're just not going to have matches. It's all focused in on this show right now, and then after TakeOver, then they'll have those guys back on there.
You know, okay.
Like there was no, like, Noe Jose was on the show, no Hideo Itami. There were some other people as well. I just can't think of the top of my head that you'd think, okay, they'd probably be on the show, and then they weren't.
Huh.
I mean, they're just totally focused in on TakeOver. Well, but they've got a ton of talent there that
yeah, I was
going to
say, now they're going to be overloaded with talent just like the Raw and SmackDown and the main roster is. So they're going to have some tough times coming up with creative. But in the case of NXT, you actually can you know, can depend on NXT to give these guys good storylines.
Right. So. And I mean, they're playing in a little bit of a different ball game because they're only doing an hour a week and they can kind of focus on those storylines the way that they do. They're only doing, you know, they're pay-per-view specials 4 or 5 times a year and they build up to them. So it's a little bit of a different playing field than what we see for WWE, but I'm with you in that. I say this all the time. I love the way they do it. It's a slow build. They do cool stuff on there. The second that you look at a takeover card and maybe you question it and wonder how good is this going to be, then you watch the show and you're blown away by, you know, the in-ring matches and the storylines that they do, just the ideas that they come up with for these. I mean, it's, you know, it's Triple H's baby. You know, and here's another example. I mean, he's been talking up War Games for a while and he found a way to bring it in.
Yeah, he's a really good promoter, and he's really good at developing his talent. And like you said, I think that those 45-minute to 1 hour time slots, accompanied by their pay per views, are just as long as WWE's. So like they have the build and creative. Just it's like over like an 8 week period instead of just like, you know, 3 weeks of trying to put something together. And I think that's where it differs as far as people being invested into the storylines as opposed to the main roster.
Well, you know what? Their pay-per-views are not as long as WWE's because they only go like two.
It feels like it.
It goes like 2 hours, 2:20. I mean, they only do like 5 matches, you know, when it comes to their shows.
And they give the talent at least 30, 35 minutes per. I think that's also something huge.
Everybody gets a lot of time. You know, maybe they do an angle, they do an interview, they do whatever, but you never feel like anything's rushed. I mean, with it being on the network, obviously they can go over. So if they're scheduled to go 2 hours and they go 2:10, 2:15, that's perfectly fine. It's still not as long as a traditional WWE pay-per-view. They just needed a little bit more time, and then they don't have to be rushed about it, and it works out. I mean, I love it that those shows are a little bit shorter as well, and that nothing is going to drag. I mean, takeover shows, nothing really drags for the most part. So, you know, NXT's still firing on all cylinders. I mean, I think we talked about earlier this year, a lot of people were like, it's slowed down a bit. They brought up some talent to the main roster, but now, you know, they brought in, you know, obviously Fish, Cole, O'Reilly, you know, Rush and Dijak are on their way there now. You know, Roderick Strong is being implemented in a bigger role. McIntyre's now the champion. So, you know, they've got their next crop of guys. And here we go again. NXT is loaded.
I think it's just like a college football program, man. You don't rebuild, you reload. It's just like always, always, always looking for talent, always looking to implement new talent, people at the performance center, and then they can just insert them right there. Because, I mean, I love the women's division, too. You know, Sonya Deville. I really like that Bianca Belair girl. She really has a lot of talent, and I think she's one of the more unique ones they have there. As far as, you know, the main picture goes, Roddy, I think Roddy's going to end up with the belt at some point. And I don't know. To me, it seems like his personality's changing a little bit now that Rude left. So maybe they're going to turn him heel or something. I don't know. But those takeovers, man, those are really those are times where you kind of get your eyes opened a little bit. Like when I was watching that last takeover and the opening match was Sanity versus the Authors of Pain, I had no idea that Alexander Wolfe could jump over a rope like a plancha. Like I was so like in awe of that, and that was honestly my match of the night for that pay-per-view. But like those are those type of moments where you're just like, oh, this dude can wrestle. I just never see it.
Right. Yeah. They got a lot of guys there and you're taking advantage of the talent and letting them show off their stuff. So, I mean, that's what we like to see when it comes to NXT. And then they're not totally different, but they definitely are different from the main roster. They have their own unique identity and
own entity.
Yeah. Yes. And we'll get into this because I want to talk about, once again, comparing NXT to WWE. There's a reason why I want to do that comparison again. So let's step aside for just a quick second, take a break, and we'll come right back. We'll talk about that and the week in WWE plus Hell in a Cell coming up this Sunday. So let me bring up that comparison about NXT to WWE again, because like when I wrote the outline about what things we were going to talk about, one of the things I noted on here was, why is wrestling so great but WWE is not? Which is kind of quite the blanket statement, I guess. But here's the
overgeneralization, but yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, when you watch so much WWE television, because, you know, they have the 3 hours of Raw, they have, you know, 2 hours of SmackDown every week. If you want to watch 205 live, go for it. And then obviously they're doing their pay-per-views, and now we're in that period where it's every 2 weeks they're doing a pay-per-view. It becomes a little bit of overload, and I, like a lot of other people, I'm not banging my head against the wall, but I get a little bit frustrated with some of the storylines and things that they are doing, and just saying, okay, I know NXT is a little bit different, but I see how they're utilizing guys here. You've got a lot of talent on the main roster, obviously. Why aren't you taking better advantage of them? And it gets frustrating, and sometimes it kind of tires you out on wrestling. And then, like, I decide to go to NXT tapings, and it's like, oh, this is why I love wrestling, or, you know, why I even like WWE stuff, even though it is NXT, it's a little bit different. It's like you watch that, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is so cool, and now this is why I like this stuff. You know, it's like you fall back in love with it real quick, or you remember why, like, you like it. It's not to say that everything on the main roster is bad, but there's just some things where you're like, why aren't you doing this, or why aren't you doing that? Why are you going this direction? Why won't you let so-and-so do this or that? And it just frustrates you after a while.
It really does. Like, a perfect example of that is, you know, this entire thing, which actually in turn worked out, but that cruiserweight division match at No Mercy, that just, you know, like, it was like, really? Like, you're going to push this guy after he spent, what, less than a month in the cruiserweight division, whereas Neville literally, besides one loss to Tozawa for that cruiserweight championship, which, by the way, lasted a day.
Yeah.
And you have him lose to Enzo Amore. I think that was one of those moments where I was like, what are they doing? And, you know, in turn, it ended up being a, you know, a double turn where, you know, Neville turns out to be the good guy and Enzo turns out to be this weaselly heel, which I love now, don't get me wrong. But, like, at the time, you're just like, what are they doing?
Right.
And then, like, you know, that main event of No Mercy was kind of lackluster for me. And it was a perfect opportunity, I thought, to push Braun.
Let me give you just a straight minute here, because I know it's No Mercy, but we're playing off of that. And that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Go on a 1 minute rant about why you want to come on the podcast so bad coming off of No Mercy.
It really was the Enzo thing, man. And I think what was worse was, for once, like, the pay-per-view started out great. Like, there were some really good matches. Like, I loved the Bar versus Ambrose and Rollins. I think that was the match of the night by far. But it's just the creative on Raw. It's so weird to me how they can, I don't know, sometimes the pay-per-views end up being so much more lackluster than the build from the actual shows, and that makes zero sense to me, because, I mean, you're coming into there and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see, you know, Braun Strowman versus Brock Lesnar, and I can't wait to see Roman Reigns versus John Cena, but here, let's have Roman Reigns win with one spear after John Cena tries four AAs on Roman Reigns, and he kicks out of every single one of them, including one of them that was off the top rope, which was so dumb to me. And I understand that John Cena's, you know, coming up to the end of his career. But, I mean, you could have had John Cena kick out of, like, two spears or something like that. But, no, we had to make Roman Reigns look strong, because Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns. And he's the big dog. He's the guy. I know, it was pretty much that. Oh, gosh. But there is a light at the end of the tunnel, Rod. I'm sure we'll get to that.
Yeah, there is. See, my thing is just, like I said, they've got a lot of talent there. And I just want to see guys utilized to the best of their abilities. And I just think there's more they can do, whether it's in the ring or even with storylines. WWE, as we all know, has a certain formula, and they very rarely break from the formula. That's what we're seeing right now with NXT, is a break from that formula of what they do in WWE. And you know what? They're not losing any money. The business is still very successful. Vince has a formula, and he's going to stick with it. I mean, come the end of the day, people can make pitches. They can give their side of what they would like to do. But
they could be marks like me.
They could be a mark like me. But you know what? Vince is the one that swings the hammer at the end of the day, you know, and he's the one that decides what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. And, you know, like I said, it's not adversely affecting their business, at least not now. So he has no reason to change. But for some of us, it does frustrate us a lot that, like, okay, why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing that? Even, like, you know, I had the same feeling about the Braun Strowman thing. Like, hey, you got a guy that's really hot, it's really unique, pull the trigger on this. And they didn't want to do it. We all know about the Roman Reigns argument, and they're hell-bent on what they're doing there. And, you know, this whole thing of we're giving our audience what they want to see, we cater to our audience. Yeah, maybe it's the vocal minority, but at the same time, who's not to say that even the masses of the WWE audience, if you did it in a different way, the way that would kind of please us as the quote-unquote marks, the hardcore fans, in a way that we like, who's not to say that that general audience wouldn't like that as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's also what he takes into account is just the casual fan, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at some point, I mean, the casual fan's starting to get sick of the crap, too. I mean, it's evident in crowd reactions, is it not?
Oh, like, it is. I mean, the one thing that they did this week, and I don't know if it was just unique to where they were at, but, you know, obviously one of their big projects is getting people to get behind Roman Reigns, and they did it this week. I mean, Roman was cheered.
They did. They did cheer him. It was weird. It wasn't like a smarmy crowd like usual, but I think the whole Shield tease thing is really going to, you know, try to get them into good graces.
Yeah, I mean, and it's smart for them to utilize that, and that they're going to be putting the Shield back together. They're going to do a match at TLC, which is whenever the heck it is. I think it's like 3 weeks away or whatever. And so they're going to, you know, reunite the three guys. And they're going to go up, it looks like, against Miz, Sheamus, and Cesaro, which is different from what we originally thought because, you know.
We thought it was going to be the Mishtourage.
Yep. Yeah, which would have been a disaster because Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas being a part of that just does not work. I mean, nobody.
They're not ready for that stage yet.
I mean, nobody's going to believe that those three guys even stand a chance against the Shield. Like, I mean, right. And you know what? Originally, I mean, I think it was everybody was thinking like, oh, it'll be Sheamus and Cesaro and Braun Strowman.
Yeah, that's actually what I thought too.
Yeah, but that's.
But I'm kind of glad that they're going to give the Miz this though.
Yeah, I am too, and I think it's a strong component in getting people to get back on the Roman Reigns bandwagon because people hate the Miz.
That's because he's really good at his job, man. And I just did have one thing to say on that match, rumored match for that at TLC. How awesome is that? That's on the 5-year reunion of their debut as the Shield.
It's almost like think they planned that out or something, right?
Right, yeah. It was Ryback and Team Hell No versus them at their debut at 2012 TLC. I remember that like yesterday.
Right.
And they're going to do that now. That's pretty cool. That's 5 years from the date.
I think they could play this out even further because they could carry this over to like Survivor Series. They could do like a 4-on-4 and they can include Strowman at that point, but I don't know what they're going to do with Braun right now.
It seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm looking into it too much, but it seems like they're going to try to, they're like trying to turn him face. Did you see what he did with Enzo?
Oh, yeah.
After the show? Like, he was like, have him. Like, he beat the crap out of Enzo, and then he just let the cruiserweights pick him apart.
Right, and then this, I mean, and then,
was that a tease, or?
No, I mean, I don't know what that was. I mean, that was even on camera, though, but they put up the video anyway, and then they've done, like, they had him beat Ambrose 1 week, and they hadn't beat up Rollins this past week. So
they had him basically kill Curt Hawkins, and Curt Hawkins he's a tweener. So I don't know. Maybe they're just trying to figure out what to do with him. I mean, what's going on with your boy Samoa Joe? What's he up to? Because I'm sure I could see them feuding.
That's the one that I kind of think that maybe they do. I mean, he's supposed to come back here within the next couple of weeks off of knee surgery, which he says that he's been dealing with a tweaked knee since he joined NXT.
Oh, wow.
And he said, he goes, even what you've seen of me in NXT and on the main roster, I haven't been at 100%. So he went in there and, you know, we can say minor knee surgery, but is
cleaned up some cartilage or something.
Yeah, but is any surgery really minor? But, you know, he went in there and he got it fixed. And, you know, so he's supposed to come back here within the next couple of weeks. So maybe that's where they go. And it's another one of these, it doesn't matter who's a babyface or who's a heel. It's just we're going to put these two big, you know, guys that like to brawl, and we're going to pit them against one another.
I think that's actually a pretty good feud. And I know that it's banned on the main roster, but could you imagine Samoa Joe trying a muscle buster on Braun Strowman?
That'd be fantastic.
How crazy that would be. Man, I don't know. I just love what Braun's you know, brought to the table. And I think it was kind of lowballing him to not let him win that championship at No Mercy. I still can't get over it.
I know.
Now you got a guy that doesn't really have a direction, you know, for a couple weeks. And I mean, we haven't seen Brock Lesnar on television since the win. I mean, big surprise. And I mean, your heavyweights, they're losing their momentum a little bit.
Well, the thing with Lesnar is we're not going to see him until Survivor Series.
Yeah. So that's what happens when you have the part-time champ. And there's, I mean, and that's nothing against Lesnar. I still like what he brings to the table, but man, I mean, it just sucks. To me, and I know this is kind of crossing brands and kind of going off subject, but AJ Styles and The Miz are your top two champs right now. I think there's no argument.
Yeah, I think you can make that argument. Yeah, absolutely.
And it's crazy. I mean, because it's benefited the mid-card, but the mid-card has kind of turned into the main event, so to speak.
It has, even though they don't go on last, you know, especially right. When it comes to the pay-per-views, maybe they do on TV. And by the way, I think it's very interesting over the last couple of weeks how WWE has, I won't say abandoned, but the way that they have shifted what they put where on Raw. Because, like, that last hour is just like, all right, let's fill up an hour here.
That is interesting that they've had Enzo finish the show twice, like 2 weeks in a row. It seems like they're actually trying to put some effort into the cruiserweight division. I mentioned it earlier that I was mad at the time. But, man, this heelish, cocky Enzo, man, I'll tell you what, it makes you want to punch him in the face. And I think that's also investing people wanting to tune into 205 Live to see Enzo get punched in the face and get the crap beat out of him. Well, so I think that's actually kind of a strategy that might work. I mean, I know it's still the cruiserweight division and they've got a lot of damage to repair, but I mean, they do have a lot of talent on that show. And you know what? I'm glad that they're getting a little bit of respect getting that final slot.
Well, the problem, though, is it's going to be who do people care about that will go after him now that really means something? And then they do that whole angle where nobody can touch him. And then Angle sits there and goes, well, that doesn't, you know, pertain to the new member here. Mm-hmm. And everybody's like, oh, who did they sign? Who are they bringing in? This could be really exciting, you know?
That was me. That was me, honestly. I was like, who the heck could they, you know, have gotten from the indie circuit or from somewhere to come in here.
Then they announced Kalisto, and you're like, oh my God.
I had that in the back of my mind when that was happening, too. I was like, you know, it could be someone really cool, but then I'm like, you know who hasn't had a program in like a year? Kalisto.
God.
But Kalisto was really good.
But do people really care about him?
Yeah, definitely not, because he didn't get built up enough.
Well, and because when he was...
It's better than Sin Cara.
Yeah, that's true. And I mean, and I like Kalisto, but I mean, I think, when was it, like year and a half ago when he, when they did the draft and he did that makeshift promo where he fumbled and bumbled over himself for 45 seconds. Which,
the lucha thing.
It murdered him. It was a self-inflicted wound. And then since then, they haven't really done anything. But he does have a win against Braun Strowman.
The dumpster match one?
Casket match? The casket. Is that what it was? Casket? Dumper?
Dumpster.
It was a dumpster match. Right, dumpster.
Dumpster match.
Yeah. But it was just like this fall win or whatever.
Yeah, he like his feet fell into the thing.
Yeah, whatever. It's just like, you won. You're like, okay, right. Okay.
It's typical Raw creative.
No, that was just done to screw over some gamblers, I think.
Yeah.
By the way, explain this one to me too. So the other thing that really stood out to me on Raw of like when you're talking about the big angles is over in the women. So they want to make you care about Mickie James by calling her an old woman.
You know what though? The creative kind of got a little lazy there, but it kind of does make you want to, you know, hope that Alyssa gets her teeth kicked in, you know, because Mickie really hasn't had a program since she got back, since she was La Luchadora.
Right.
And I mean, she had that stuff going on in SmackDown ever since she's been on Raw. She really hasn't had a direction or been involved in anything really. So, I mean, it kind of sucks that they kind of have to go through the low blow there. But I think obviously she signed off on it. And, it, you know, if it gets her back into the title picture, so be it, until at least Asuka comes around. You know, and it makes it believable that she could win because her and Asuka faced off at NXT in her return.
And that's the thing right now. I think they're kind of waiting around for that. I think the other aspect of the whole thing that's kind of weird is that, you know, they were doing Alexa and Nia, like, as a little group. And then they went away from that. And then, like, out of nowhere on Monday, they were hanging out together again.
They're
like,
back together again.
I was like, when did this happen? What's going on there?
They can't decide. They can't decide whether they're friends or not. I mean, it kind of makes zero sense. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
It's Raw creative. We're back into this vicious cycle again. Well, it's just how it goes.
Well, we're in the cycle now when it comes to Matt Hardy, who unfortunately is off on his own because his brother got injured. And by the way, the injury was worse than everybody thought because it was there was two things. He had a surgery the other day. Trying to remember exactly what it was for whatever reason, I'm blanking.
Well, I know he tweaked his shoulder match.
He hurt his shoulder, and he already had a surgery for something on that, and then he has to have another surgery next week for a torn labrum. And he's out for 6 to 9 months.
Lord.
So
poor Jeff.
He's missing WrestleMania. And
man, you know, Jeff gets a surgery like that after, you know, such a small stunt on Raw, but, you know, he's jumping off of freaking 20-foot ladders at WrestleMania going through tables and not a scratch. That's just so that's so depressing.
Well, now, you know, they've had Matt lose a couple weeks on TV. Matt's teasing like a character shift, and everybody's wondering like, oh, he's gonna find a way to do the broken Matt character, you know, because he's been teasing that he's not broken, he's woken, and all these other things. Jeff is saying, oh, I might still be on TV in a different role even while I'm recovering from surgery. So we'll have to see. I don't know if it's going to be effective, though. I mean, we talked about this before, but I don't know if it can really be effective if you can't have all the bells and whistles with it. And I don't know what he can do, what he can't do. I guess it's like, let's see if they actually do pull the trigger and let him do it. But I'm leery of it because it's not going to be the same thing we saw before, because he's not going to have carte blanche to do what he wants when, you know, now that he's in WWE.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's just so frustrating. I'm just so fed up with just WWE creative in general. Don't even get me started on SmackDown. Even though SmackDown does have a sweet pay-per-view coming up. So.
Well, what ticked you off about SmackDown?
The entire Jinder Mahal Shinsuke Nakamura angle.
I don't.
If it's even considered an angle. I don't know. Who's writing these jokes? One, they're in bad taste. Two, they're not even funny. And this isn't like just like complaining as somebody who's like offended. They're just terrible. You're like out here watching the Singh brothers laughing at these horrible, corny ass thing, like just limerick. Like, I don't know. I don't know why they decided to make Jinder into a comedic character, because he had... Even though the matches were boring, at least you could take him seriously against Randy Orton for that like 3-4 month span. And then, you know, you start with the Shinsuke angle after Shinsuke beat Cena for the number one contendership. And they didn't really have a build, but they had a decent match at least at SmackDown's last pay-per-view. I can't remember at the top of my head. But then they just dive into this just awful angle just of Jinder basically doing everything that he's saying that he hates, you know, like people that like, don't, are intolerant of other people's cultures and whatever like that. And he's calling Shinsuke Nakamura Mr. Miyagi and doing all this bull crap. And it's just like, dude, this is terrible. What, you couldn't have thought of anything better than this for your quote unquote main event. You really?
You know what? Like, you know what offends me even more is just on the main roster, they don't understand Shinsuke. They don't understand him one bit, what he's about, what makes him cool, what makes him different, what makes him stand out, what makes him unique. They don't understand one iota of that. Nothing.
The artist.
Oh, my God.
Okay, then.
I'm like, Prince is not wrestling, okay? It's Shinsuke Nakamura. I'm like, okay, what the hell is going on?
He says this is like one of the top five wrestlers in like the past decade, and they're just completely crapping the bed with him. And I mean, the way he was utilizing it, can't you just take some pointers from Triple H? When Triple H sees this, do you think he just, like, is watching TV? He's like, this isn't bad. Like, do you think that he's kind of got blood boiling up inside of him, realize what kind of commodity they have with Shinsuke Nakamura? and just seeing them wasting every bit of his talent. Like, how do you think he's reacting to that?
I think Shinsuke's trying to put a smile on everything. He's trying to do the best that he can, but you know he can't be thrilled about it. I mean, he was excited to get to SmackDown. He wanted to get off NXT. He wanted to get to the main roster, but it's just one of those things, too, where they never know how to book a top babyface foreigner.
They shouldn't have given him a mic. I mean, I don't know. Maybe they don't have him cut too many promos or something like that.
There's a way to do it. It's just not the way that they've done it.
Yeah. Man, you know what? And this is another part of the NXT to main roster thing. You know how Shinsuke started out with Dolph as his first, you know, major feud, quote unquote. They're doing the same thing with Bobby Roode, and I'm putting my hands on my face because I'm just like, okay, I'm cool with Dolph in ring or whatever, and whatever the heck they've given them this angle about entrances or whatever. But if they ruin Bobby Roode, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm literally just so frustrated.
Well, the Bobby Roode thing is, that's one we've mentioned before, is just he worked in a certain way before in NXT, even with the music. And it's like once they get him up in the main roster, like, oh, well, people love the music, so
let's make him a babyface.
Right. Not only that, but let's just like change his whole kind of whole persona to some extent. And I'm like, that's not who he is. That's not who he even was in before he joined the company, much less in NXT. I'm like, just because he's got music that people like does not mean that he can't keep the same persona. I mean, he knows how to do it. That's what he's best at. I mean, that's another example. You look at those two guys, and there's people that are, you know, they join the company and they're with NXT, and their lifelong goal has always been, I want to get to the main roster. I want to go there. I want to be on the biggest stage possible. Plus, you're going to make more money once you go there. But I'm telling you, there are guys that are sitting going, you know what? I will get there when I get there. In the meantime, I am very happy with where I'm at right now. I'm in NXT. I can be involved in a really good angle. I can have a lot of fun. I can have better matches. I still get to go on the road and do the house shows and whatever. You know, I'm not in any hurry, you know, to go to the main roster. When it happens, and that's fine. But you know what? I want to be where I'm at right now because I'm probably going to be booked better here than I am there.
I think, literally, if you think about it, maybe, let's say, Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens are, like, the only ones to me that have, you know, at least improved or kept their stock since NXT. I mean, think about it. Finn Balor's in the middle of nowhere.
They don't understand Finn one bit either.
They don't understand Finn. You've got so many guys. Like, Sami Zayn is in the gutter, and he was one of the best performers they had. I mean, I guess you could say Neville, you know, has gotten a decent push in the Cruiserweight division.
That's only been recently. Yeah,
but before that, they didn't know what to do with him. Bo Dallas? Okay. Like, it's mind-boggling to me that they can't figure out how to use them after you watch them in NXT and see how they operate, and you can't mold your writing to their style.
Right. Like Samoa Joe's, you know, it's still an incomplete.
Samoa Joe's.
It's all about them really getting behind him. I think they're finally starting to see what makes him really stand out. And, you know, because he is a bigger guy, he has a better chance, even though, you know, he's a guy that is not have that traditional chiseled look. Yeah, I mean, look at the women, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for a while there, it was like, all right, great, they're doing something more with them. And it's just kind of tapered off. And I understand you can't have the same women on the top all the time. But look at the way that they utilize some of the top women. I mean, we could talk about Charlotte, you know. She's still in a very good position. I think Becky Lynch should be in a better position, but she's fine. But the two that stand out, obviously, are Sasha and Bayley. And look at what they did.
Bayley.
Bayley especially. I mean, everybody thought like Sasha was going to be this huge breakout even further when she got to the main roster. Has not happened. They have not embraced her for whatever reason. I think some of it is they're worried about injuries. Bayley, they do not understand. Even worse, probably, than like any of the foreigners that they brought up to the main roster to be baby faces. And Bayley, when you see her, you know, talking about Oh, when I get sad, I go back and I watch some of my matches from NXT to cheer myself up, or, you know, I don't know what to do, and maybe I need to turn heel. And she's saying that stuff in public. It just shows you, like, they've just killed her confidence, and they just do not understand her one bit.
And once that confidence is gone, that, and you see it in the matches, kind of. And what's even worse, though, like, you kind of had a feeling that Bayley's character in NXT wouldn't really, you know, translate to the main roster, because, I mean, there's just a bunch of savage fans for the main roster. And when I heard her getting booed out of the building, that was one of the most awkward segments I've ever listened to, because she was literally pouring her heart out there, talking about how she had a shoulder injury and she'd be away for a couple months. And there's people that are just, you know, booing the hell out of her. And it's like, wow, you guys really messed this one up.
Because they never explained it. They never explain who she is, why we should get behind her. It was like one of those things where they just assumed everybody knew who she was in NXT. And it was going to be a continuation, and you can't do that. You just can't do it, especially with a character like that. And they just mismanagement to the point where now it's a train wreck. It's an absolute train wreck.
So let me ask you this, since, you know, we're talking about all of these people that had success in NXT and, you know, kind of flopped on the main roster. What's the solution? What's the solution to making them bigger stars, or at least on the same level as what they were in Orlando?
I think the solution is having better communication between the creative people, especially Triple H and NXT and Vince McMahon, to really untapping what got somebody over, and then laying out a longer-term plan to introduce that to the main audience. And it's not, you can continue it to some extent, but there has to be a reintroduction. Some of that has to be in vignettes.
Yes, vignettes. Bring vignettes back. I literally just thought about it at the top of my head while you were talking. Like, I was like, when have they done that lately? They did it for Bray. And I mean, you know, like,
the last time they did it was Adam Rose.
Oh my God.
That was the last time they did it was Adam Rose. But, I mean, you just need to find a way to better introduce people and then just kind of put them on this path to explain what the person is about, and then put them in a great position right off the bat to where they have an opportunity. And if, like, after a couple of months, if it's not working, whatever, then okay, you have to adjust. But really capitalize on, why did this work? Why did it work here? What did they do? And how can we best do that here? And I think that's something that they failed to realize. I mean, like you said, you know, they're changing characters around. You know, they put little nicknames and surnames with them, like Shinsuke, who call him the artist, and, you know, not playing to his strengths. That's one of the things, too. They don't play to a strength. They play to, this is the way that I perceive this person, rather than playing to a strength.
It's absolutely awful. And I mean, you know, you go back to those, like, you know, like little tiny video packages, and people got to realize how much that does. I mean, I know it's an earlier time, but look, go, like, Razor Ramon, Mankind, Kurt Angle, you know, heck, Rey Mysterio back in the day, you know, like, it worked because they were like, oh, what's this? You know, this is new. Okay. I can't wait to go and see what this is. Or, you know, have a little mystery behind it. You know, like, oh, man, I don't know. I just get mad when I talk about it.
Well, I don't want to keep bringing us down, so let's talk about some positive. we'll run down Hell in a Cell here in a minute, but the Kevin Owens stuff is still very good.
Excellent, excellent. That's one of the more personal feuds that they've had in, you know, a couple months or so. So
yeah, so I'm really big on that. Kevin Owens, I think, is a guy that,
I think Vince is starting to understand that he's money.
Yes, I think so too. And he's the guy I've been saying look out for. You know, they're doing that feud right. I like that a lot. I don't think there's really any problems with, like, you know, New Day and the Usos. I mean, they just go out there and they have good matches. You know,
that's going to be an awesome match.
I think so too. I think that's going to be the show stealer.
Has there ever been a tag team Hell in a Cell?
No.
So this is the first one then?
Yes.
awesome, man.
I'm excellent. I'm pausing because I'm trying to make sure that that is correct. Up the top of my head, I don't remember them doing one before.
I don't either.
Yeah, I don't remember that either. So yeah, this has to be the first time. So what happens with the third member of New Day? Can they be inside the cage or they got to be outside?
They said they got to be outside. Mm-hmm. But it's also, I think they said, or wait, no. I'm thinking of the wrong thing. Sorry. I thought it was going to be False Count Anywhere, and then I remembered that was what Kevin Owens and Shane McMahon says. False Count Anywhere match.
Yeah. Can we go off on a little rant about that too?
Go for it.
Okay. Isn't the whole point of having a Hell in a Cell match being inside the actual cell? I mean, that's what a cage match is for, is to keep people inside. Now, mind you, of course, we've seen plenty of times where guys have gone outside the cell. But it's like you got to work your way to break out of the thing, right? And then you got to get back in there to finish anything. But now they're actually going to do, well, we're going to start in a cage, but, you know, you can finish it wherever you go. Look, what?
So you're not trapped inside the cell.
You're not basically trapped inside. Does that mean they're going to be actually, like, is the door going to be locked? Or is the referee just going to open the door for you? Here you go. Come on out.
Maybe they meant False Count Anywhere as in we don't have to be in the ring for you to pin me. Like maybe
Well, you could do that. But I mean, I think the obvious thing is they're trying to tease, like in case somebody tries to kill themselves by taking a tumble off the top, that you could be pinned right there.
Somebody's going to pull an Undertaker. Somebody's going off of that thing. And I think it's going to be Kevin. Kevin's going to get thrown off the top.
I've said the same thing for weeks. I made that prediction like 3 weeks ago that they're going to tease Shane and it's going to be Kevin because Kevin loves taking big bumps. He wants to create a big moment, and I think he's up for it. And I think he's the one that's going to fall off the top of the cage because I think Kevin's going to win the match, but I think he's going to take the bump off the top.
Yeah, I wouldn't. Unless they pushed it towards, you know, the Survivor Series double branded.
Yeah.
Okay, so I could see Shane winning in that sense, but yeah, no, I think that Kevin's going to take the big bump. You know, maybe he's trying to throw Shane off of it, and he either gets pushed off or gets thrown off, kind of like, you know, the Undertaker, Mick Foley moment. But that match is going to be brutal. I can't wait to watch that one. I think that they're going to, you know, pull out all the stops and.
What do you mean brutal? Like brutal in like watching Shane McMahon's punches, or brutal in that the punishment that they take?
Okay, you're right. Those little jabs are pretty awful. But I mean, he's aggressive at least. I think we'll see a coast to coast, you know, mm-hmm. Apron power bomb. Is that going to close the show?
I think it is. I mean,
okay. If it closes the show, then yeah.
To me, there's no way you can close with Jinder and Shinsuke. God.
Just look. Do you hear how we're laughing about that? That is your main title on that show, and we're laughing about it.
Well, here's the thing, too. Like, how much credit did we give Jinder? Like, okay, you know what? They took a guy who was a jobber and pushed him up, like, very quickly, right? And then we said, okay, you know, give another guy a chance. You know, he's working hard. He's worked his way back to this position or back to the company. You know, he's in great shape. He's, you know, they're giving him opportunities, whatnot. But they just do the same thing over and over and over. And you still feel like he's not unlocked. Like there's a formula for every match. They don't trust him to have a longer match on his own. And it's the same thing every time. The promos, same thing every time. It's just wash, rinse, repeat. And it's just like, okay, fine. You move the guy up the ladder. But now I'm seeing the same thing over and over and over. And I'm tired of it.
It's so annoying and it's so stale. That's a word a lot of people use when it comes to, you know, certain storylines. It's very stale. Mm-hmm. And they have to change something. They have to either take the belt off of him or they need to make him more serious like he was against Orton at least. Because, I mean, we're going back to this. And it was one of my bigger rants on the last podcast I was with you. Is the typical foreign heel that hates America. I hate it. And I hate the patriotism angles. I hate every single one of them. They did it to bring Rusev back. They had him take a loss to Cena before he came back and started this feud with Randy. And they depend on it way too much. I'm American, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I mean, it's not 1985.
Well, I was okay with it, with the Rusev-Cena thing. But this one...
But they did the stuff with Cena at WrestleMania like 3 years ago.
Right, we're right. I mean, but
so there was no need for it.
But the whole thing of like Shinsuke and Jinder, it makes no sense. It's like, wait a second, you're telling me even with Jinder being a heel, it's like, okay, because he's from somewhere outside of the United States, I should hate this guy?
Right. It's stupid.
It's like, haven't we moved past this?
Their logic is still two decades behind.
I know.
I don't know how it can be, because that, to me, that formula doesn't work anymore. And I know you said that there's a formula, but I think that specific formula with the patriotism angle and, you know, Hulk Hogan beating the bad guy from, you know, a foreign country. No, that's gone. That's done. It's boring.
So you want to give some predictions then for the show?
For Hell in a Cell?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, sure.
So we got the Sunday. I know you're going to start watching for the kickoff show even. They're doing, on the kickoff show, they're doing Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin against the Hype Bros.
Okay, because I have seen that the Hype Bros was doing a heel turn-ish type of thing.
Yeah.
Or one of them's going to turn on one of them, and I think it'd be Zach. But maybe they pulled something different and went with Mojo. But I love this Benjamin Gable, you know, kind of hybrid. It's like Team Angle all over again.
Kind of, yeah.
But I do like it, though. I mean, I think that both of them, you know, mesh together. And although I'm kind of a little bit disappointed that they didn't go with Gable as a singles, I think that it's a good combination. And they're going to end up being one of the better tag teams.
Don't get me going about Gable. Don't get me going about that, because they broke up American Alpha. I rant about that every week.
You do, eh? You do.
Every week.
You ran about that the last time we were doing this, too.
Oh, my God. I'm never going to be over it, dude. I think Gable and Benjamin will probably win that.
Yeah. Agreed.
They'll probably break up Hype Bros because they don't like tag teams. they hate tag teams.
They do. At least logical tag teams. By the way, what they did with Sheamus and Cesaro was awesome.
Did you see?
You know, like,
people were so pissed off this week because they teased they were going to do Fashion Files on SmackDown. They said they were bringing it back.
Yeah, they pushed it back to why? Why? They make no sense. It's like one of the jokes that me and my friends have running for the past 4 or 5 years. Jonah Hill is going to host Raw. Jonah Hill is going to host Raw.
Mm.
Okay, nobody's hosting Raw. And I didn't like the host thing, but we were just laughing because they'd tease something and nothing would happen. Brodus Clay, same thing. Brodus Clay debuts next week. Out comes the Funkasaurus 3 weeks later. Make your minds up.
But look at Emma.
Yes! Emolution. Emelina.
Yeah.
What? 2 months?
They teased it for 15 weeks, I believe, and then she came out and just said, nope, not going to happen, and then walked to the back.
That's an all-timer. Absolutely.
So
get your head out of your asses.
Let's see. They're doing Randy Orton against Rusev.
Which I don't mind that feud because Aiden English is one of my kind of like
I like Aiden.
Guys. He's one of my guys that I like in that under mid card.
Yeah.
I kind of like that whole Rusev Day segment. I was laughing the whole way, especially after he got RKO'd, like when he was holding that note and he got RKO'd in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And what they're doing with Rusev, I don't know, but
they never know. I'm still going to say Orton.
I'm going to, you know what? I'm going to go with Rusev, because last time they had Orton beat Rusev in what, like 8 seconds?
Yeah, very quickly, yeah.
Yeah.
But they both exchanged quick wins.
They did. I love the way that Rusev sells that RKO, by the way. It's excellent. He like takes his head down. Kind of reminds me of like Rob Van Dam when he sells, you know, those like DDTs, or if he sells an RKO.
Well, nobody celebrates a win like Rusev, though.
Nobody. Rusev Day forever.
Let's see. Bobby Roode against Dolph Ziggler. I'm going to say Ziggler is going to win that.
If they have Bobby Roode lose to Dolph Ziggler at his first pay-per-view match,
mm-hmm.
they have no idea what they're doing.
They're going to do it.
If
it's the first match in a feud, man. They're going to do it.
Don't tell me that, because I mean, I understand there has to be a feud, but can't you just like do a disqual or something then? Like, can you not have an outright winner? Can you have him like try to cheat?
I think he's going to cheat and win. He's going to win by cheating.
What about a DQ, man? What if he just like takes a chair to the back, makes him? I mean, it makes him look strong, and Rude doesn't have to take a pinfall at a pay per view for his first match.
He's going to get a wedgie from the pole trunks, and he's going to lose.
Oh no! Don't say that. I got Rude. I can't go against Bobby on his first pay per view match, especially against Dolph Ziggler. And I love Dolph Ziggler in the ring. Mm. I've said this multiple times. But my God, man.
I know. They're doing Natty against Charlotte for the women's championship. I don't have a good feel on that one. I guess Natty.
You know what? That they go back to that. You remember when they did that in NXT in like 2012 or something?
Yeah.
Charlotte had Rick in her corner and Brett was in
Natty's corner.
And that was an excellent match.
Yes,
that
was.
Really good match. So they have excellent chemistry together. That could also be a show stealer. I'm going to go with Charlotte wins, Carmella cashes in.
Mm. They've been pretty quiet
dog,
about that.
Yeah, with her dog on the chain.
Yeah, they've been pretty quiet about that lately.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't necessarily know if I like the dominatrix angle, but I like Carmella a lot, and I think that she's getting more confident as the roster, or as she's been on the main roster.
It's a reverse Vince McMahon Trish Stratus. Baron Corbin and AJ Styles for the U.S. title. If AJ loses, I'm going to cry.
See, I like Baron Corbin, though, and I don't want them to ruin his push. Like, you know, like, I love him. I think that he's really good in the ring, and I know that you disagree with me here, but I do. I think that he brings that, you know, kind of powerish, Braun Strowman-ish type of thing, but he's more of like an a-hole type of player, person more than a
you
scary
don't say.
I'll take Baron. I think God. Baron will beat him. Baron will beat him. But no, the good thing is, from one of my later predictions, AJ Styles gets elevated into the main event picture. So keep going.
Well, they're doing New Day and Usos. That's a hell in a cell.
Usos take their title back.
I
like that they're passing around like a hot potato because, I mean, tag teams in the past with, you know, like the Hardys, the Dudleys, and Edge and Christian, they hot potatoed it too. So, I mean, I don't mind that because those two feuding is awesome. I love it.
Well, as long as we get good matches, I don't have as big of a problem with it. But I think New Day. I'll say New Day.
Okay.
They just want to keep, you know, building up their well, they'd have to lose the titles to win them back again. I know they want to build up like the number of titles they've won, but I'll say New Day. So they're doing Jinder and Shinsuke for the championship now. So
Shinsuke Nakamura, please God, please.
Well, WWE did announce, and they made it official early this morning as we tape on a Thursday, that they are returning to India. They're going to be over there December 8th and 9th. And the modern day Maharaja will be there. Now, does that affect your prediction?
No, because if Shinsuke wins, that means he gets a rematch. So, and we all know how WWE likes to do their superstars returning home. They like to have them lose every single time.
Well, they won't do that for because they're building a market. I mean, that's one of the reasons why they also had him be champion.
I guess, but I don't know. There's no way that Jinder Mahal wins again. He cannot win again against Shinsuke. It's Shinsuke Nakamura. I don't care what the, you know, main creative says. No. And then Shinsuke and AJ go at it after that.
Well, I want that for Mania, so don't say that yet.
Right.
I will agree that Nakamura wins here. And here's the other thing about that India tour. It's the Raw brand, and they're bringing Jinder. So he doesn't need the championship.
Really?
Yeah.
He's going to be on Raw?
Well, for those shows, it's a Raw-branded tour. He's just going on the tour with the Raw guys.
Okay. Well, maybe that means that Nakamura wins. And, I mean, if he's with the Raw brand, maybe he gets traded or something. Maybe something happens like that.
No, I just think they do that sometimes where they have different guys show up on the other brand for a house show. Like,
Yeah, you know how it works more than me.
Well, I mean, you just watch some of the house shows and they're like, oh, so-and-so popped up from the other brand. Like, they've had Lesnar like they did a SmackDown house show before SummerSlam, and Lesnar was there.
Oh, okay. You know, so that's kind of a cool surprise.
Yeah, so they do stuff like that. Like, they even did, it was Samoa Joe against Brock Lesnar, both Raw guys, on a SmackDown house show.
Oh, okay. That's so cool. I got to go to a live event. There's one coming to Canton here by.
There you go. And then they're going to do KO against Shane, and I mean, unless you think Shane's going to win, I mean, I already laid out what I think's going to happen.
Yeah. I addressed that earlier. I think that Shane wins, especially if they push this feud further, because I feel like it all can't come crashing down in one thing. I feel like this is one of those more longer feuds.
He's got to protect the McMahon name, huh?
Right. Yeah. You know what? I wouldn't mind having KO lose, too, because if he takes the big bump, he's the one turning into the star here, and everyone knows how vicious and how, you know, built up Kevin Owens is already. And not that Shane needs to, like, be pushed as a wrestler, but as a one-off, I could see him winning. I really could. And I do want to ask you about one thing as we finish up these Hell in a Cell predictions. This Starrcade thing that they're doing, they've already spoiled a lot of matches for that, too, didn't they?
What do you mean? Well, I mean, they've announced a bunch of matches for it, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, does that indicate anything to you as far as predictions on this card?
No, because everything's subject to change. Just because they've announced it now doesn't mean that they won't change it. They don't all the time, but no, I don't think so. I mean, it's just a house show anyway, so. I mean, they're doing a theme with it, which is unique, and everybody thought that maybe they would put it on the network or something, and they're not doing that. I mean, they're definitely not doing that. But they're just doing a theme to get more people to try to come up to a house show and, like, sell up the building, where maybe they would do, you know, 5,000, 6,000, 7,000 people, and they want to fill it up. They want to do, you know, 10,000, 12,000, whatever it holds.
Okay, all right. How about these WCW elements coming back to WWE?
I know, right?
War Games, Starrcade. What's next? The Great American Bash. We haven't done that in a while.
Oh, we were talking Halloween Havoc. yeah. What was the other one? Bash at the Beach.
Yeah, Bash at the Beach. Hey, oh my gosh, they were so corny.
Dude, Daytona Beach needs as much attention as they could get if they ever want to do a show up there again. Okay. By the way, I was at that Bash at the Beach with the infamous Vince Russo promo in the hoisting of the belt. Yeah, I was there for that.
That's a great moment to remember.
Everybody around me kind of like looking, like, what's going on? And my buddy sitting next to me very loudly goes, "So is that supposed to happen?" And I go, "No." And like all hell broke loose everywhere. Like, there was a couple of guys that were on the show I was supposed to meet afterwards. And I go, "We're not going to be hanging out with them tonight now." And like later on, like, and God, how long ago? I mean, not everybody had cell phones at this point. It was so long ago. And I remember like waiting a few minutes for the guys. And finally I heard back from them. They're like, "Yeah, we're already halfway to Jacksonville for tomorrow's show. We got out of town." Yeah.
You know, I got excited when you said you were at Bash of the Beach, and then you said Vince Russo holding up the title. I thought you were about to say you were at the NWO Bash at the Beach. I got really excited for no reason there.
No. That was the infamous Russo promo when he called out Hulk, and then come the end of the night, Jeff Jarrett was champion.
Oh, Lord. Vince Russo.
God almighty. Yeah, that thing was a mess, to say the least.
Hey, you know what? The creative on Jinder's feud isn't really much better, so. I don't know. I might rather see Vince Russo with the championship right now than Jinder.
Maybe. So, a couple other things, and then we'll get some questions. We'll wrap up here. We do have to bring this up, and maybe I hope anybody wasn't upset I didn't bring this up earlier right off the bat, because this is a big story, but the unfortunate passing of Lance Russell, the legendary announcer from Memphis, you know, most associated obviously with Memphis wrestling, passed away earlier this week at the age of 91. If anybody hasn't watched Lance's work, I mean, it's unbelievable stuff, especially for that age. Lance was the perfect guy for Memphis wrestling at that time, with all the different characters they had there, including Jerry the King Lawler. So the TV station that they actually did the broadcast on, Lance was the program director, and he became the wrestling announcer. And he later picked Dave Brown, who was the weatherman, to be his partner on those broadcasts. And together they formed one of the best wrestling announce teams you've ever seen. I mean, they were live every week for 90 minutes, you know, if doing Memphis wrestling and these all the different angles that they did there. And it was crazy times in Memphis. And Lance was like a true gentleman, a true professional, a beloved guy for all the right reasons. His style in the air was just this straightforward, no-nonsense kind of thing. He was always going to back the baby faces. He was appalled by some of the things the heels would do. And everybody talks about Lance Russell and how good he was on the air, but he was just such a great guy. He was a really, really good man. And you know, unfortunately, you know, he passed away earlier in the week, but it's just a great time, I think, to remember how good he was and everything that he brought to the table. He's, you know, he's a legendary guy. I mean, there'll be people that live through that and watch that show every week, and they'll make the argument, and possibly rightfully so. You know, it's up for everybody's own opinion, but him and Dave Brown, you know, announcing wrestling, I mean, you can make the argument that's the best team that we've ever seen.
And, you know, I mean, it's kind of unfortunate because, you know, I'm only 25, so I really couldn't, you know too much about Lance.
Sure.
But always with these guys, there's always guys that lay the groundwork for, you know, where wrestling goes today and what styles get picked up and stuff like that. So you always got to respect, you know, the hard work that those guys put in order for this to be possible.
Yeah, you know, and I think the good thing is, you know, in this age where we do have, you know, YouTube, social media, different things like that, you can go and check out, obviously not all of his work, but you can definitely check out, you know, a ton of it, read the different things that people will say about Lance, and you'll get to know the guy. And I mean, it's, like I said, the way that he would like sell angles, like you would be there and he would just be the no nonsense, straightforward kind of guy, describe the scene and everything. And then something would happen and he would have reaction to it. And, he was the right guy for that wrestling at that time for that audience. And
was it like a Jim Ross type of sell on all these angles?
I mean, it wasn't over the top. It was not over the top. It was more like he was the newsman. You know, he was the newsman and he was delivering the news, but it wasn't news. It was wrestling, you know, but when he needed to get animated, he could, but it wasn't over the top or anything like that. Nothing. I mean, Jim got animated and stuff, but you know, for the big moments, you know, and rightfully so. But Lance was just this kind of no-nonsense, straightforward kind of guy. He wouldn't take anything from the heels as well. And remember, this is a time where there's a lot of stand-up interviews and you're around the desk and everything, you know. I mean, he's even the guy that obviously, you know, he was around Jerry the King Lawler when Lawler was a heel and then later turned to a babyface. Bill Dundee down there. Andy Kaufman, when the whole Lawler-Kaufman was going on.
I was going to ask if he was around for the Andy Kaufman stuff.
Absolutely was. You know, Lance actually, later in his career after Memphis Wrestling, he made a short comeback where he was with WCW back in like 92. He was there for a little while. Lance is great. Lance is just so great, man. Just like I said, like straightforward, no nonsense. I always think like a true professional when you talk about Lance Russell. And nobody will ever have a bad thing to say about that guy because he's such a good, good guy. I mean, he was just a pure gentleman in every sense of the word. And, you know, it's unfortunate that we lost him, you know. But, hey, he lived a long, good life. I think that we can all celebrate.
Yep, him, and you know, we lost Bobby Heenan a couple weeks ago, and
mm-hmm.
I mean, I knew more about Bobby than I did Lance, so I mean, Bobby just made you laugh every time you were watching the screen.
Oh yeah,
he was just the weasel man. There's no one like him either.
I want to bring this up before we get some questions from some fans, but I did an interview this week with Dave Lagana. People could check that out here on the podcast if you haven't already. We were talking about, you know, Dave is now working with Billy Corgan, of course, of Smashing Pumpkins fame, and worked with Impact Wrestling last year. Both he and Dave worked together on the creative team there. But Billy bought the NWA, and they've been talking about what they were going to do, and now they're getting ready to begin the official relaunch and revival of the NWA. And Billy did an interview with Sports Illustrated. Dave's been making the rounds because Dave is his business partner, kind of his right-hand man in this project. And they've been slowly mapping this out. They've been doing this for a little while. and they have their ideas for what they want to do. It's not going to be like, hey, next week we're going to, you know, sign 20 wrestlers and we're going to put on some big show somewhere. It's going to be a slow moving process. Ideas for how they want to do things. They're talking about doing like a weekly show in 2018, whether it'd probably be on TV, but if it's on TV, it would be somewhere, YouTube, social media, somewhere. They want to utilize a lot of social media when it comes to not only getting over angles, but getting over the wrestlers themselves. They want the wrestlers to really take advantage of those platforms. They want to continue storylines throughout the week. So it's not like everything just happens that one night that they're doing the TV show, you know, like, oh, so these guys don't talk during the week. They don't run into each other during the week. They want all of that. They want everything to play out over a week's time. And you could see the continuation of it on social media, you know, throughout the week as well. And the other thing we talked about that's, I think, is a big thing too, is obviously when you have the NWA name, I mean, you've got a legacy there. And there are people that are diehard NWA fans that don't want to see anything bad happen to the name, but it obviously needs a freshening up and you have to bring it up to date with the times. But they understand that too. They want to respect the legacy, but they want to obviously modernize the NWA. It's a fascinating project that I hope works out well. I want to see exactly how it plays out. Anytime there's a new promotion, you're always, I think a lot of people pull for them, but I'm always skeptical about, okay, what's going to happen? Can it really work? They're doing it in a way where they're not just throwing money at it and they have a long-term plan. And I mean, I'm not going to say it is going to work. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm genuinely curious to see how this plays out and what they do and what talent that they get, what promotions they work with, because they've been open to doing that. They actually presented an angle where they would work with Impact Wrestling and they would do like an invasion storyline, and Impact turned that down, at least for now they did. And who's not to say that they can't do that with somebody else, or you know, maybe they're going to have talent on from other shows, even champions from other shows. And they could do the same thing where they have their guys pop up on other places. It's obviously not going to happen with WWE, but maybe it could happen with Impact. Maybe it could happen with some other, you know, indies. I don't know if they'll ever be able to do it with Ring of Honor, but obviously that would be another one they'd probably want to do if they could. But, you know, they've got a long-term plan. It's not just flip the switch, throw a bunch of money at it, and make it happen. And I want to see how they do this because they want to utilize some different mediums that they feel like other places fully haven't taken advantage of.
Yeah, it's a 20-year plan. It's going to be digital based, and you know the whole thing with Billy and Lagana. I think it's interesting that those two are the ones working together because it seemed like from at least what I was reading that Billy Corgan wasn't exactly happy with the way things were run.
No, he wasn't, you know, and neither was Dave. I mean, Dave had been on the creative team, and then Billy came aboard. They became really good friends and obviously now business partners. You know, Billy was frustrated by different things, and, you know, he had lent the money, and, you know, he wanted to buy control of the company, and obviously he didn't get it, but he got his investment back, and that was a whole thing because, you know, he almost bought Impact Wrestling. And they had their own ideas for it, him and Dave, and maybe even Matt Conway, who was a part creative then. And then Billy, once everything was all settled and he was gone, Dave made the choice that he was going to leave too, and he wanted to go work on this project with Billy. You know, so, I mean, Dave left on his own. He could have stayed if he wanted, but he wanted to leave. And, you know, now they've got this project that they want to work on. I mean, it was interesting to hear Dave, even in the interview with me, talk about like what the plans were for Impact. So if people haven't listened to that yet, go and listen, because he had a very interesting angle that he wanted to do, that him and Billy had planned to do involving the Hardys, and it would have been basically a rebrand and a relaunch of Impact Wrestling.
Man, it sucks that they didn't pull it
off.
Yeah, because I honestly, I mean, I could tell you, like, and I was a, you know, big fan of Impact, and I still, you know some wrestlers here or there that I love, but man, I mean, they lost some steam.
Yeah, they lost a lot of steam. I mean, they lost so many different wrestlers and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, who knows what to say if Billy had still been there, what might have happened? Because does that mean the Hardys are still there? Maybe. I mean, I will tell you this. If the Hardys were still there, they would have done the feud with the Young Bucks.
Oh, man. But, I mean, at least you got that match the night before.
You got the one match, yeah. But, I mean, they were going to do a best of three, basically.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's a bummer.
Yeah. So, I mean, but who knows what they would have done. I mean, I don't. Maybe Bennett would still be there. Maybe Maria would still be there. Would McIntyre still be there? I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. I think the Hardys would still be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably. Because yeah. I mean, they were really on fire with that gimmick, and there's so many what ifs.
Exactly.
I mean, but it's crazy how it's just moving forward here into their own thing with NWA. And I like that they're reviving NWA. I mean, there's plenty of those, you know, libraries, I think, on the network. And it's where, you know, everything got together, like the NWA Heavyweight Championship with Ric Flair and Dusty Rhodes, like all those guys. That's where, you know, got their big start.
The NWA is just this legendary group that was there for so many years and was, you know, was the group in wrestling for a long time. And, you know, obviously, once WCW and the rise of WWF came along, you know, they went down in stature, but there's still a lot of people that will always embrace that. And it's been sad to see what has happened to it lately, because there have still been some NWA shows. But, man, you look at the way that some of these promoters that have license for these things, or did, and the way that they have outright butchered the NWA name with the shows that they put on. And it's disgraceful to the NWA legacy. It really, really is. And, you know, it needed to be freshened up. I mean, the NWA has been a mess for years. It's been a mess for years. And now you've got Billy who just owns it all, you know.
See, I do have a question. Like, how did that happen? Because when Jeff Jarrett did Total Nonstop Action, when it first came through, wasn't it NWA
TNA? And then they stopped working with the NWA. They just splintered off on their own.
Okay, when did that happen?
Oh, within like the first year and a half.
Really? It was that quickly?
If I remember right, yeah, it was very early on.
Did they use their talent? Like, did they?
Well, they used the NWA Championship together. Because wasn't the first
put it together?
I want to get this right, because I know otherwise I'm going to screw it up. I'm trying to remember the first champion that they had was it Ron Killings, or was it Ken Shamrock?
Oh, man.
Why can't I remember this now? Because I'm a moron, basically. I'll have to look it up. I don't want dead air.
we're not, I know, right?
So but cool. But you remember that was like what they did at the beginning, and then it wasn't too long after that they splintered off. You know, they got away from that. So
It was Ken Shamrock. Shamrock. Then it was Ron Killings. Then it was
there you Jarrett, go.
And then they were off.
I remember a few things every now and then. but I mean.
And when I was reading about this NWA thing too, and I just wanted to ask you real quick, it said 20-year plan that Corgan had for this, right? That's a long time.
It is, and you know, I don't think they're not trying to do something where it's like, oh, we're going to be taking over WWE and we'll be the brand in wrestling. They just want to be a successful brand, and they don't want to be like some places that are like, oh, you know, we're going to do this, that, and the other right off the bat. We're going to be so quick about it. And, you know, a year and a half from now, we're going to be, you know, already at this level. And they're like, no, no, no. Let's plan it out. Let's take small steps. So we're not just, you know, we're not going to be a flash in the pan. They want to do things what they perceive as the right way. They don't want it to just be, it's all money, money, money. We got somebody with a ton of money and we're going to, you know, throw money at it. It's let's build slowly and surely and do things the right way so we can have sustained growth and we can be here for the long haul.
Hopefully it works out for him, man. I mean, you know, I have a feeling that Billy's a decent businessman, so I think it'll end up coming out to
fruition. We'll see. I mean, I want to see what talent that they get. You know, I think that's going to be obviously a big part of it.
Yeah.
You know, they got Tim Storm there right now, who's their champion, and yeah, they got to play around with all that stuff. So we'll figure it out. I mean, and we'll see if it works. I mean, I think we will know within 18 months if it's going to work. I think.
Yeah, oh. You're the expert. You're the one. You're the one who calls them as
yeah,
he sees
you know,
them,
I
so.
Mean, I see some things and I immediately I'm like, nope, seen that before. At least they're taking a fresh look at it. So I'll give them the benefit of the doubt. But, you know, let's see how it plays out. I want to give everybody at least a chance.
Yeah, yeah. And it will come down to what actually will help draw the audience
sure.
into the
so,
program.
So let's get through some questions here real quick and we'll wrap up. You can always send questions. You can email them. It's btrmailbag@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Between the Ropes. And we're on Facebook. It's facebook.com/Between the Ropes. So let's see. Email Francis, of course. A regular emailed us. I'm not going to read all your questions, Francis. I think you got like 8 of them here. You said, is the Miz and the Bar versus the Shield a damaged angle? No, not at all. Not at
damaged?
All.
Damaged? I think, you know, all 6 of those guys have a lot of momentum between all
like
of them.
I like it
honestly.
A lot. Do you think we see Starrcade as a network special? No, I mentioned that. They already said they're not going to do that. Do you think we'll see the NWA library on the Impact Wrestling Network? No, I don't. WWE owns most of it. There's some of it that's still out there that I think Billy Corgan will get. And no, I don't think that's going to happen for the Impact library, though, which is supposed to be the Global Wrestling Network, which they sent out a press release 3 weeks about that they were going to launch like within a week, and they still haven't launched it or said anything about it since. Take that for what you will. And do you think Impact needs to move away from the Impact Zone? Yes, and I think you're going to be seeing that happen very, very soon.
I think I read an interview that you did with Josh Matthews.
Yeah, well,
about
I mean,
that.
They're
did
doing Bound for Glory, and the tapings are after in Canada. They're doing it in
right.
Ottawa. Is that right? Yeah. I think you're going to see a lot more TV tapings happening in Canada as well, because that's where Anthem Entertainment is based, and they are now the owners of Impact Wrestling. And I think you're going to see a lot of different changes when it comes to that company coming up here, and they're going to be tightening the belt even further. They have to. And I think some of that is going to be moving the TV tapings to where they can probably do them a little bit cheaper, maybe not all the time. I'm not saying they're not going to be in Orlando anymore, but I've heard some different things that they're not going to be in Orlando as much. And we'll see the next time they actually do come to Orlando. I think some things are changing. I mean, I know that Josh even talked about, like, well, there's been reports that we're moving out of Nashville. And I'm still here. I don't know what anybody's talking about. I'm here. He goes, I could maybe see it happening, but it hasn't happened yet. Well, get ready for that one, buddy, because I think that's happening too. Let's see. Facebook. We'll get to a couple here yet. Let's see. Shannon asks, Shannon Nielsen, wouldn't Nakamura be a lot more cooler if he was a lot more serious and a lot less artsy?
Yes.
I think you
I think
too.
I answered that. With emotion. Yes.
Yeah, I think so too. That's one of those things where getting back to, do they really understand him? Yeah, absolutely. The whole artist thing is a total disaster though, right off the bat. And then, yeah, I mean, that's what Shinsuke Nakamura is. I mean, he can have a little bit of fun out there, but I think, they've made him a little bit too cute. They put that name on him. They don't know how to utilize him in little parts when it comes to promos. And, yeah, he needs to be more serious, obviously. And I think they've asked him to do too much repetition in his matches. It's too much of a formula.
Agreed.
And that's something that I don't need to see him do the come on thing every time. And it's like, but it's not only that they're doing that, it's that it feels like it's being done at the same place in every match.
It does. And he's like right in the middle of the ring looking at him. Someone's over either outside of the ring or like at the bottom of the turnbuckle.
Well,
come on. And he does the, I don't see him doing the knee strikes anymore. I mean, you still see him doing the, you know, good vibrations because, I mean, that's obviously a WWE type move.
But what does it say that he's been with the company now for, how long has it been? 2.5 years? Okay. And his best match was his first match.
Oh my gosh, that one with Sami Zayn was amazing. When they did take over Dallas,
that's the best match that he's had in the company. It was his first match.
Yep.
Because that was as close as we'll get to the Shinsuke Nakamura that we knew from New Japan and what made everybody excited about having him over here.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. Hopefully he gains steam. But, I mean, if they keep on trying this crap out, I don't know about it. But again, if we go back to your little prediction there at WrestleMania, if he faces off against AJ Styles, that will not be a key.
I'll let you have this one. So Felipe, our friend from Chile, said, how negative is it that we already know what will be the main event of Mania next year? Did WWE not learn about the last two Mania endings with no climax for the crowd?
Oh, my God. So, please tell me what the rumored match is. Is it Lesnar?
Are you
kidding
me?
You
don't know that that's what they're building up to? Yes.
No.
What do you think they keep protecting Reigns and keep trying to, like, well, he already got the signature win against Cena, and Cena gave him the validation. And then while they're now doing him with the Shield because they want people to cheer him because they want to build up for another coronating moment of WrestleMania of Roman Reigns against Brock Lesnar. And that's why they didn't put the title on Strowman.
Oh, my God. They're doing
You're in a state of denial.
I just don't get it. I don't know. Man, okay, well, this time, obviously, Roman's going to win. But I don't get how, you know, Roman always gets this spotlight. Like, usually, like, every year they pick a guy, then they're like, okay, you know what? You get the push. And the one year it was different was that when Daniel Bryan forced his way in.
But that was before the whole Roman thing, really.
I mean, if they're going to – what's the formula? I mean, if this guy's main evented literally every WrestleMania for the past, what, four Manias?
I believe.
Three? Okay, so he's not built up enough yet? Is that what they're going for? Well, I mean, does he really need the quote unquote big moment? I mean, he beat the Undertaker. He retired the Undertaker. Mm-hmm. He destroyed John Cena. He's already won the championship at WrestleMania against Triple H. What else needs to be done to solidify this guy? He's already solidified. I mean, you got to accept the fact that he's just not going to get over. It's just like John Cena. He's going to have mixed crowd reactions through the rest of his career. You can't just assume that, okay, you know what, in year four, when Reigns beats Lesnar, that's the moment that everyone's going to be like, okay, you know what, Roman Reigns is the guy. No, he's already the guy. He's done so much stuff already. You can't build him any further. It's impossible.
He can still beat the one guy he hasn't beat yet in the one-on-one match.
That's not going to do it for me. He already beat The Undertaker. Mm-hmm. He beat John Cena. He beat Triple H. You know, like, there's nothing.
I'm glad that we're wind down here in the last couple of minutes, that you're coming to this realization that, like, everybody else knows for, like, the last 6 months. I'm kidding.
I had no idea. I didn't know that was the main event. I thought, you know, maybe they do it at, like, you know, like the Fastlane pay-per-view beforehand or something like that, or Royal Rumble. You know, have him beat him at Royal Rumble. That's still a big pay-per-view. That's one of the big four. You don't need it to be your main event for the second time in 4 years or 3 years, whatever it is.
I mean, they haven't announced it, obviously, but it's like there's a lot of us that expect it. Like, well, I mean, and you can see where they're going. It's pretty obvious that this is where they're going. This is their end game. That they've already thought in the back of their minds, we're going to do Reigns and Lesnar at WrestleMania, and that's what it's going to be, and we're on that path. And hell with anybody that gets in the way with that. That, you know what? No matter what, we're not gonna take a turn left or right. We're going straight ahead, and that's the goal.
Can I ask you, aside from John Cena, who has ever done this in wrestling to main event four straight WrestleManias? Who's done it? I don't think Austin's even done it. I don't think The Rock's done it. Chris Jericho sure as hell hasn't done it. Triple H, maybe.
Yeah.
Hell, I don't even know. But what is it about this new formula? Because, I mean, and I don't want to, you know, stray back to Attitude Era, but it's not – you can have a superstar be built and not have to close the show every single time.
I just love that it took 90 minutes before you came unhinged.
It just makes me mad. It's like – it's literally – force-feeding it down your throat that this is the guy. And that's fine. He can be the guy, but he doesn't need to close the show every time. He doesn't need to be the champion every time. The Rock wasn't always champion. Stone Cold Steve Austin wasn't always champion. Triple H was champion for the most of his career there in the, you know, early 2000s to the, you know, late 2000s. But still, hell, this never worked in the past. You have to make everybody around Roman Reigns respectable too. So there's, you can't just have one guy be the guy that carries it all and have the other guys not.
We all know who's in charge, and we all know what his idea is and how he wants another top guy to be the flag bearer. It's a new person. And
yeah, he can be a flag bearer, but John Cena didn't even do this stuff. I'm pretty sure John Cena hasn't main evented four straight WrestleMania.
I'd have to look.
I'm just thinking. Maybe he has, but man,
I want to look it up. But then just, it'll take a few minutes. And people are probably going to call me on it. So,
and he's not even half as entertaining as Cena. He's good in the ring. Give me that. I'll give you that. I like Roman Reigns in the ring, but Lord, at least I don't know. I'm done. I can't.
Hold on. Let me bring it up. Red. I think I got something here. I think I have the matches for. Let's see. So 20, that was his debut. He did the first match. That was against Big Show.
Good match.
I was there for that.
Good match.
At the Garden. Let's see, 21, he did face JBL for the WWE Championship. Didn't go on last, but if you want to...
That was probably what, Randy on last in 21? Or no, he faced Undertaker in 21. Or was that, no. Shoot.
Well... 22.
Keep going.
That is where he faced Triple H. That was the Chicago Gangsters entrance.
That's right. I remember that. That had to close with Triple H.
I believe that did close the show. Let's see. 23 was against Shawn Michaels. That was not the main event. 24 was against Randy for the championship. You could say it was a main event, but, oh, it was the triple threat. It was versus Triple H and Randy. So, yeah, that went on last. I believe it did.
That definitely went on last. If you hear Triple H,
let's
most
see,
likely went on last.
You did a triple threat at 25 against Big Show and Edge for the World Heavyweight Championship. Didn't go on.
That doesn't sound.
Didn't go on last,
like,
but you could
last.
Say it was a main event.
Right, right. Closing. But I'm talking about closing the show
strictly. 26 was Batista. Did that close the show? My God. Now I got to look that up real quick.
I got you. Hang on. Let's see.
It closed 26. Okay, it did. Okay.
It did. And then we know 27,
was against
he closed.
Miz, right?
It was against
and
the Miz.
28 was against The Rock. That closed. That's three straight.
That's three straight. Okay, yeah. And then The Rock again.
That's 29. Four.
So you're right. See, okay,
30
so
against Bray Wyatt, that main event.
Obviously, no, third. That was
right.
Okay, so that's four, okay? So, and if the formula, the so-called formula is how this is going, then Roman Reigns will not be closing WrestleMania 35 then.
Well, we have that to look forward to. And this is coming from somebody that defends Roman all the time.
No, I have nothing against the guy in the ring. It's just, to me, you don't need to have this push for five straight years. He's already an established person. Everyone knows who the hell he is. Everyone knows he's a badass, but you don't need to keep on making him seem like this underdog that he's not. He's not an underdog anymore. That's my point.
I know. Trust me, man. I know. And we're still going to get that match at WrestleMania. So makes you want to buy that ticket to New Orleans right now. You know what? But by the time it comes around, maybe it won't be as bad as people are making it out to be. Who knows? I mean, there's a lot of people right now that are down on Lesnar's work, too. You know?
I mean, after that Strowman match, well, they should be.
That wasn't, I don't think that was Brock or Braun's fault. I think that was WWE decided to do a wrestling match with two monsters that people wanted to see in a fight. That's what I said about that. I was like, people want to see a fight. People want to see a fight.
Too much of a match. So yeah, it was too much of a match.
Put people in the right position to succeed. That's how we started off this thing, was talking about that. And I will always say that. Put people in the best position to succeed, and the audience will be happy. So we will wrap up on that note. I appreciate you coming on and filling in for Wiseman this week and airing your grievances.
Yeah. Thanks for letting me go on that. I think that was a five-minute tangent. I think that's really what you were trying to get out of me.
There was a part in the middle, and then, of course, at the end. It was great.
Right. That one definitely topped it off. I feel like that was a good
How can
way
everybody
to,
follow you on Twitter?
All right. So, wrestling fans, I'm at Spinny Rasslin. That's SpinyWrasslin. And I typically I'll live tweet your pay-per-views, but for Raw and SmackDown, I have work. I do more important stuff on the side as far as my other jobs go, doing sports and stuff. So I'm not really able to watch the shows live, but I watch them on replays and stuff. Yeah, but the pay-per-views I got.
Everything, so. Everybody can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Brian Fritz. You can follow at Between the Ropes as well, and you can check out our Facebook page, facebook.com/Between the Ropes. So thanks again, everybody, for joining us. We appreciate it. Make sure you rate and review the podcast every week and subscribe. You can get it on iTunes, we're on Google Play, Stitcher, the TuneIn app, we're over Blog Talk Radio as well, everywhere that you can find your podcast, wherever you listen. Please make sure you subscribe to us, and like I said, rate and review. Thanks again for listening. Talk to you next time right here, Between the Ropes.